man that wrote this song, Robert Robinson, no relation to Martha Wing Robinson at all. He was a bad guy. When he was a teenager, young man, in and out of difficult situations, I guess what we would refer to as jail, even as a young man. And then when he got to his upper teen years, he was an alcoholic. Terrible. As a young fellow. He had no hope in this world. He was trying to find some satisfaction. He was all mixed up, all messed up. We could put it in our morning worship vernacular, Haman was calling the shots. And he just had to cooperate and follow along. And that's where it led him. And then one day he wound up in a church. Mixed up, messed up, confused. And God spoke to him. God talked to his heart. How many times has that happened over and over again over the years? God speaks. Jesus loves, draws, convicts, and spoke to this man's heart. And you read these words. Lord, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Lord, bind my wandering heart to thee. Oh, to grace, I'm a debtor. Daily I'm constrained when I think of what he's done for me. But I was gripped by that first phrase. Lord, tune my heart. Do you ever go out of tune? I play trumpet sometimes, I try to, and most of the time I'm out of tune. Sometimes people ask the question before we play, would you like to tune up? I say, why? I can lip it a half step or lip it down another half step, and I never hit the same C when we're tuning twice. And sometimes our lives can go out of tune. Our hearts can go out of tune. It doesn't sound nice when things are out of tune, when they're too out of tune. Unless you have a perfect ear, then they sound really rotten no matter what. But, you know, I can hear it when somebody forgets to transpose from sharps to flats or somebody forgets to transpose at all. I can hear that. And it sounds dissonant. It doesn't sound right. And so we need to go back to tuning it up, or we need to go back to playing it in the same key or something like that. Sometimes I think when the Lord maybe hears us, hears our song, our songs of loudest praise, sometimes maybe he goes like this. Not because it's dissonant and not harmonic, but because it's just not from the right kind of a heart. The heart needs to be tuned. It goes south, it goes north, it goes sharp, it goes flat, it's not right. And maybe he says, that's the right song. You got the right song, you got the right words, but you're not the right person singing it. And I think the Lord looks for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. There was a time in the Bible even where the Bible says that people were bringing their worship, their sacrifices to the Lord. And the Lord, remember, he said, please stop. Please just stop it. I don't want it. It's not very pleasing to me. It's in the book of Malachi. What you're bringing me doesn't satisfy me. You're bringing me the right stuff. You're bringing me the lamb. You're sacrificing it correctly. But their heart isn't there. The heart's out of tune. It's not right. There was once a man in the church that I was growing up in when I was younger. And some of you know who he is. He's from your church, some of you who are here tonight. And he used to praise the Lord in a monotone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he'd just go on praising the Lord. And he had no clue that he was not going up or down or along with the you know, everybody else. And I wondered, well, I learned very quickly why people didn't sit around him. He was loud. But the Bible says, make a joyful noise. And you know, I don't know, you know, how could I assess this, but I think that was okay. Probably wasn't okay for the people that were sitting in front of him or right next to him. His name was Eugene Rosario, if you didn't know who that was. But I think it was okay. I think the Lord said, come on, keep coming. It's okay. Because the heart is right. If the heart's right, it doesn't matter really what comes out as far as harmonies are concerned. But if the heart's not right, you can sing like a virtuoso. You can sing like a whatever, whoever sings well. You can sing real good. And it really doesn't please the Lord. And he kind of keeps you at arm's length. You see, the Bible says to us that when he takes us out of the miry clay, this is the 40th Psalm, when he lifts us out of the miry clay, he sets our feet upon a rock. Now, that experience has happened, I believe, to many of you, maybe all of us. But that's not the end of the psalm, not the end of even the verse. He takes me out of the miry clay, he puts my feet upon a rock, and then what does he do?
Establishes my
golden. Yes, he establishes us on that rock, and then what does he do? He puts a song into our mouth, even praise unto our God. It kind of completes the package as far as, I guess, Asaph wrote the 40th Psalm. As far as he's concerned, that's what happens when I'm saved. Somehow or other, the song of the soul set free is a song of rejoicing. It's a song of praise. It's a song of worship. And I know you can sing the song down underneath somehow or other in your gut and in your solar plexus or in your mind. But I think the Bible indicates to us that every once in a while, and maybe more than every once in a while, that song needs to come out of our mouth. It comes out of our mouth, even praise unto our God, Psalm 40 says. And thank God that he put a song into my heart, into your mouth, into your soul. And then I can sing that song. Don't ever say, but I can't sing. You can. You can sing a song to the Lord. You can sing the song of the soul set free if your soul has been set free. Now, if your soul's not set free, don't sing anything. Just sit there and make believe it just all bypassed you. But that is also not just something that God is pleased with and that glorifies him and that honors him. But when you praise the Lord, it does something for you, inside of you. There are changes that are made inside of you. There are victories that are won inside of you. I could dare say you wouldn't even have to pray so much if you just would praise the Lord more. For the victories that he's purchased, for the things that he's done, the things that he's done that you have experienced, and the things that he's done for you that you haven't yet experienced. Praise is kind of the way in. And the last verse in Psalm 50 tells us that. This is what it says: whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And then what does the last part of that say? And that is the way that I will show him my salvation, the NIV puts it. That's the way. What's the way? What do you mean, what the way? The way of rejoicing. The way of praise. The way of thanksgiving. You know, and I think I heard this idea floated. I think Brother Jonathan maybe mentioned, just alluded to it. I don't think he fleshed it out much. And I don't know if he was referring to what I was thinking of when he said it. But when I was a younger guy, and it was up in the I guess it was Nonantum at that time, counseling, there was a man here that was on staff, and I don't know if it was Brother Gardner or somebody else, that suggested to him that he go someplace for 15 minutes a day and out loud just praise the Lord. You know, that's a good thing to do. Well, we heard that, and we began to do that, took it down to the city. I can remember when my Uncle Frank, Brother Frank Poster, he broke his ankle. He was the pastor of the Ozone Park Church before I was. Wow. That's a long time ago now. But anyway, he broke his ankle and he was laying up there in the faith home. And we had the boys' prayer meeting group in the faith home at that time. And I remember down in that prayer meeting, our leaders, whoever they were at the time, were they admonished us to praise the Lord every day for 15 minutes. Now, I grew up in a preacher's house. I grew up in the fellowship. I had heard this since I was... before I was able to understand, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you know, you can just do that without the heart being in it, without the experience behind it. And I guess it's a good habit. I guess it's a good habit, but it's not a good habit to keep all the rest of your life. There comes a time when there needs to be a change where God needs to take over that praise. where God needs to inspire that praise from your heart and from your mouth and from your soul to the Lord. Well, we were being taught that as these young boys. And so our leaders, they passed around a piece of paper. Maybe we should do that tonight, but I won't. And they said, anybody that's willing to, for this next week, to praise the Lord every day for 15 minutes out loud someplace, not in church, didn't count. That would be a good place to start, but that doesn't count. Has to be someplace else. Sign this piece of paper. And you say, well, what kind of a, you know, what is this, like a boot camp? Yeah, that's what it is. It's training. Training for what? Training for the ministry. That's what it's training for. It's training for your Christian life. It's training for your walk with the Lord. It's good training. And so I remember I signed it. So I had to do it. I mean, I'd be in the shower for the longest times. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The problem with the shower is you can't bring a watch in there. Now you can. You can bring your phone if it's waterproof. But we didn't have phones back then in those days. The only one phone that I had was attached to the wall. And their watch, forget about it. They weren't waterproof. And so you had to take a guess. I took a guess, 5 minutes. Thought it was 15, but it was only 5. And then I had to find some other place to go. And, you know, my parents would have been thrilled to death if they heard me praising the Lord, but I didn't want them to hear me praising the Lord. I didn't want them to think that I was, you know, Yeah. You don't want to do that. But I'm glad I did it. Because I was like maybe some of you. When I was younger, I think some of you might remember me when I was younger because I grew up around here. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think I was a pretty quiet kid. I was rather reserved and shy. I wouldn't be the kind to sit in a meeting and say, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord." That wouldn't be me. I'd be the guy going, I wouldn't be, not you would catch me doing that. And I guess I grew up that way. I would sing the songs. I would play my trumpet where I could. I would join the choir and sing along the choir. But then there came a day when I really began to understand that this is a weapon. Yeah, it was in my heart, but I began to understand that this is a weapon. You can sing in the darkest night and sing your way through into the victory. You can sing your way, but you can't learn to start that when you're in the darkest night. You got to learn. It's kind of like, you know, you got to build your house before the storm comes, the wise man. You got to build a foundation. You can't pour cement in the rain. It doesn't work very well. You need to lay it in the dry, the good, the sunny times. When you're in the darkest night, you're not going to be able to. If you were with Paul and Silas in jail at midnight after being beaten and put in stocks, that's not where you learn to praise the Lord. That's not where Paul and Silas learned. They had learned that long before. Guaranteed, they had learned that long before. I believe the Holy Spirit would like to put a song into our mouth. Not just you singing your song. I believe the Holy Spirit. I think I said that correctly, and I didn't make a mistake. The Holy Spirit would like to put a song into your heart and into your mouth. The high-sounding praises of God. And that's a weapon. The Word of God is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. But, you know, praise is a weapon. And sometimes when you can't pray or you can't whatever, you can praise the Lord. And, oh, I remember my Elizabeth just went home, my Elizabeth. She's now a grown woman. But when she was younger and 8 or so years old, she was diagnosed with a sickness. And the first thing the doctors told us that she had a tumor in her stomach. Well, what would you think if you were a dad and the doctor told you? He shouldn't have said that because he wasn't sure. And as it turned out, it wasn't right. So Dr. Knaup, you know, that wasn't a good practice, I don't think. I should have sued him, but or whatever I should have done. He meant well, I guess. He wanted to do the right thing, and he didn't. And I went home, and I was scared. And I don't think I could pray. Elizabeth was very slight. She's skinny and slim now, but she was like a nothing and wasting away because of her sickness. And then they tell you she's got a tumor in her stomach. So, thanks. I went home that night and I sat in my blue chair in my living room and I couldn't pray. I couldn't do anything much. I was kind of numb and shell-shocked. But then I found that I could praise the Lord. I could sing. I remember singing the song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon." And I sang all the verses of that song. And then I just began to sing, "Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, because you're far above it all." And that's not what made Elizabeth better. It was a misdiagnosis, and she eventually had to have this treatment and that treatment. But it made me better. It lifted me. And I'm only telling you these things tonight. I don't know why. Why am I telling you these things? Because I think we need to be reminded. We need to practice. You know, if you're not skilled, practice. Exercise yourself. You're not going to get skilled until you practice. You're not going to get better until you try it. You got to jump in. Oh, but he might hear me. And he knows that I'm not the top-notch saint. And if he hears me and he hears me praise the Lord out loud, and he knows that I'm not really a top... You don't have to be a top-notch saint to praise the Lord. You have to want Jesus. You have to open up the way. That's the way that I will show him my salvation. Could I just read one passage of scripture to you? And I'm sorry for taking so long. Our meeting's almost over. But let me just read a psalm. A psalm that's not found in the Psalms, but a psalm that's found in the book of Isaiah, I think. Isaiah chapter 12. It's speaking prophetically. It starts by saying, it's short, so you don't have to even be afraid. Although that really doesn't mean anything. You can camp on a verse for hours. But this psalm is a tremendous psalm. In that day, you will say, "I will praise you, O Lord." Now, what day is that day? What day? Tuesday? Every Tuesday, it must be Sunday. What day is in that day thou shalt say, "Praise the Lord"?
Every day.
Well, every day, yeah. That's good. But what day is he referring to, do you think? Isaiah is writing about this day. There's coming a day when you're going to say, "Praise the Lord." Well, maybe if we read the rest of it, maybe it'll give you another clue. "Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." What day is this day? The day you got saved, the day that Jesus... They're all right answers, I think. In Revelation it says, when Jesus was born, now has salvation come. And Sister Hofflander said, the day I was born again, the day Jesus came into my heart. You know, when he comes in, we sing sometimes, "This is the day... Esta aledi," I know that in Spanish. "This is the day that the Lord hath made," that the Lord, I don't know in Chinese. And you know, and people think, though, this is the day that the Lord hath made. So it's Sunday, it's Monday, it's Tuesday, Sabado, Domingo, Mercules. It's not talking about the day of the week. It's talking about this is the day of salvation. The day where Jesus Christ has come into us, and he's looking forward to that day. In that day, I'm going to say, "Praise the Lord. Oh, you are angry with me, but no more. Now your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I can trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." How do you get the water in your bucket out of the well? You pull it up. Well, what does the verse say? How do you draw water out of the wells of salvation? Thank you, Brian. This bucket's heavy. Let's drag it together. We got to go to church. Yeah, church. All the time, church. I had a lady in our church one time that used to say that to her mother. Church, church, church. All the time, church. Maybe you feel that way when you come to camp. Church, church, church. All the time, church. Our mother loved to go to church. I don't think she did too much. All the time, church. Well, now, in that day, you're going to draw with joy, with joy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's salvation in them, their wells. And one of the ways that he manifests that salvation is as I rejoice, as I give him the glory, as I praise him before even the victory. This is what he's purchased for me. With joy I draw water out of these wells of salvation. In that day you'll say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Verse 6, shout aloud. Ooh, no, huh? That sounds charismatic. No, it doesn't sound charismatic to me. That sounds Presbyterian to me. If you're a biblical Presbyterian, it sounds Catholic if you're a biblical Catholic. Anybody here Episcopalian? Sounds Episcopalian to me if you believe the Bible. It's not denomination. It's not all the Pentecostals all shout. Yeah, I hope they do. If they don't all shout, that's a problem, but they should all shout. But so should everybody that's been drawing water out of the wells of salvation. So should everybody who recognizes that God is in the midst of his people, the Holy One of Israel, in the midst of us, cry out and shout. Oh, no, I do that with a... How could you shout without a loud voice? I don't know why. I don't know why the Bible says sing unto the Lord with a loud... I don't know why he needs a loud voice. It's not for him. I don't think it's for me. There's some release. There's some operation of the Holy Spirit that God takes over those praises and breaks things in us, delivers us from ourselves, maybe from our timidity, maybe from our shyness, maybe from our backwardness. But as you open up your mouth and open up your heart, oh, don't you love it when the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What did he do for me today? Oh, yeah, the hot dogs were good. No, he's forgiven all my iniquities. He's forgiven all your iniquities. Anybody here ever have any iniquity? He was angry with me because of my iniquity. He wasn't so pleased with me, but he's taken that all away. And he's become my salvation. And oh, I bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all. And so not every meeting do we come in and praise the Lord with a loud voice, the whole meeting. Look, silence is a wonderful thing. If God puts silence on his people, praise is a wonderful thing. If God puts praise in a meeting. But every day, it would be well for us to take time to sit quietly before the Lord. And every day, we would do well to open our mouths and praise the Lord. So if I hear you in a canoe in the middle of the swamp and I'm coming around the bend, and I hear, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I don't know who that is. Someone from camp. Exercising. Maybe it would be good for us to learn better to use the weapon of praise. Teach me. You know, I'm not very deep. If you've come to camp this week because you want to hear a deep preacher, you found the wrong guy. You came the wrong week. I'm still trying to learn the most simple, basic lessons of the scriptures. I'm still trying to get over the cross and the blood and the love of God and praising the Lord and loving Jesus. I don't know if I'll ever graduate. I don't know if I'll ever be able to tell you the difference between the first and the second and the third heavens. I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, do some of these. I don't know if I could do that because I'm still learning. And I guess I'm in good company if I can quote Martin Luther when he said, teach me, teach me, teach me. Every time he went to the Word of God, every time he read the Bible, teach me, teach me, teach me. And so let's rejoice. Let's sing. Let's praise him. I think many of you maybe know that little chorus, Let's Stand Together. You know, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. We can just sing that first verse and then in the chorus. And when we are dismissed, those of you that are guests here tonight, please leave as fast as you can as if there were a fire. And the staff, make believe you want to get burned. Yeah. And so we want to leave quickly if we're guests. Okay? And the staff, we're going to stay for a staff meeting, which follows right after we get dismissed. And those of you that are guests, there should be a fire raging on the beach right now. And if you'd like to go down to the water and look at the sky, and I hope not hear the rolling thunder, but if you'd like to make a s'more, marshmallows, and a time of fellowship around the fire, for the guests that are here, you're all welcome to join us down there. As staff, you have your own gatherings and own things to do after your staff meeting. And also, tomorrow morning here at Pilgrim Camp, we have our Sunday morning meeting down in the meeting house in the village. It's the walk down the road. If it's too far for you to walk, speak to Sister Letha, Brother Paul, or myself, and we'll try to figure out how we can get you down there by a car. But the village will be restricted from our getting down there until 10:10. Okay? 10 after 10 tomorrow morning. And then there will be some boys standing there, and they'll let us go back up to the meeting house. They don't want you down there right after breakfast. They don't want you down there until 10:10. And so please abide by their rules. They're getting ready, and we don't want to crash in on them. Also, tomorrow morning is the only time at camp that we take an offering. There will be an offering collected tomorrow morning, and the offering that is collected is taken for the children's fund at Pilgrim Camp, which is then used, the monies gathered are used to send needy children to Pilgrim Camp next year. And we've been able to do that throughout the fellowship churches for many years now because of the kindness of those that have come to camp during the season and collected these offerings. And so keep that in mind. Come prepared if you'd like to. Also, there was a little New York, I don't know what you'd call it, a little thing that was found around you. If this belongs to you, does it belong to anyone? Shelly's looking feverishly through. It's yours. Okay. There is no money in it, Sister Shelly. But you see Brother Paul. He knows where the money is. Okay, so you'll see him afterwards. Lord, we pray that you'll bless us. We're going to sing that as we leave, then you'll go with us. Staff meeting, campfire, let your presence accompany us, and let us go with a rejoicing in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. God bless you. We're dismissed.